Run over that poor fella, and I bet he's just bruised and still bleeding.
He just got what he deserved.
Well, I'm sure that's right. I'm sure that's right. I thought if you weren't too busy in the morning, Mike Mansfield told me that he had talked to you. He came by this afternoon to tell me goodbye. He's going away for a few days, and I got to giving him some of my problems. And he got to thinking about them, and I told him that I'd like to for him to talk to anybody he wanted to. He said he wanted to talk to you and Aiken, and I thought if you had the time that I could go into a little more detail if you'd come by quietly in the morning and before I came over to the office, say about 10 o'clock over at the mansion.
10 a.m.
And we just sit there and have some coffee and visit back and forth. I would like to tell you, well, first I'd like to get your judgment on this non-proliferation thing. We've tried to get Nixon. He will not, he's playing it very, very cagey. He says he's strong for it, but that I will have to be the president till January, and I'll have to make the judgment, and he cannot assure me what the Republicans would do and how mad they might be if they were called back, et cetera. What he really wants to do is to make a production of this after he comes in and say that the first thing he did in less than 60 days, he had a non-proliferation treaty. And we don't like that, but we don't, that's not the matter that really gives us trouble. The Soviet are worried that because we're sitting back and taking no action and been several months, the Israelis are getting very close to a danger point there. We have a little pressure with them still with the Phantoms, which we won't have when we sign the contract the next few weeks. The Germans are getting farther away from it every day, as are the Indians and the Japanese. And they think that we ought to do two things. At first, we ought to try to get it ratified as quickly as we can. If we don't, we ought to have a conference on missiles and have our technical staff start working on a formula that we can agree on in advance, which they have submitted, and we have our Joint Chiefs aboard. They're agreeable to it. We lose two Joint Chiefs in the first 6 months of next year, your man from Arkansas, McConnell, and Buzz Wheeler. Both of them are very good on this and have not been hardliners. If you get an Arleigh Burke or a MacArthur type, we don't know what we'll get when we get two new chiefs. And they think that we ought to meet for a couple of days and lay down the formula and then get the staffs to working, and then they think that would be an inducement to the new president not to break up the meetings. The world wouldn't let them. They would look so hope our allies. The British feel very strongly about it, and even the Germans told them they thought we ought to have meetings on Cold Clifford on missiles while we're over there. We couldn't wrap anything up. I don't want to go to just a meeting or a travel or a trip, but Debrinen had been in twice in the last week. Well, I can say the last 5 days. He called up and asked for an appointment with us. Rostow went out and saw him, and then he called up went to see Russ today, and he's going back tomorrow. And he has said to us that they're ready and willing and anxious, and they can agree on this formula, which we're agreeable to, and we can have a communique really in advance. And we ought to do it. So I thought you might think it over a little bit. And Nixon said in one of our meetings it might be we ought to go and have a meeting if they want to have one, but he didn't say any more. And I think there'll be some cynics about our meeting with them on account of Czechoslovakia, and they'll say we're condoning it. Although Rusk and Clifford both said that at NATO, the people there thought we ought to go on, that they had got everything out of Czechoslovakia now, but three divisions. And anyway, we need to then, if we didn't have the special session, we would, this would help us along with the NPT in January. Now, you got about 7 or 8 people coming in that don't look too good next year. You've got Clark going off, and you got a fellow from Pennsylvania. We don't know how he would be, but he's not as good as Clark. You got Morse going off, and the Republican coming in. You got Hayden leaving. You got Goldwater. We know he's liable to join up Russell, be against it. We don't know how much that trouble. You got a fellow from Kansas coming in to take Carlson's place. It's maybe a hardliner. So we got about 7 or 8 that the boys that worked the Hill, McComber and Mike Manitos and some of them, are not as sure of. If you wait till January. If we said to come in here in December and spend a week debating it, and we'll meet in the morning, in the afternoon, the House doesn't have to come, just 100 senators. And we talk about 3 or 4 days, and then we say, well, we come in here on Monday, and we work about Thursday, and we say, well, we have an agreement that we'll vote next Thursday. Give everybody plenty of notice. And then come back and vote. Why, then we could at least not give, let the Israelis hide behind us, and the Germans hide behind us, and the Indians hide behind us. Now, I don't know what to do, and I don't care. I mean, it's nothing personal to me. Whether they do it in December or whether they do it in March, they want to. We've got it negotiated, and it's up to the Senate. But I believe that with Nixon playing it like it is, it's something that our leaders ought to give real good thought to, and I'm willing to be guided by a judgment. Dirksen called me from the hospital yesterday, said he had heard about this, said, I'll support the treaty. I'm ready to go and all out. I said, well, will you come to special session? Do you think we ought to have one? Well, he said he didn't know. He thought about it. Now, I know Nixon had called him. And I don't know, I really don't know what we ought to do about either one of them. My inclination is to go say yes to both of them, but I've got my budget message, and I've got Vietnam. Looks like South Vietnam's going to come tomorrow. But Nixon got in that one and got in it pretty deep, his people did, and told them to stay away, they could do better. But I would sell them out like China, like we sold China. So that's helped me up a month. So some of his political people got to advising around here. And you've got a lot of the lobes up in Manchester, up in New Hampshire, and others that are kind of, you know, giving advice. So if you'll give a little thought to what you would do, what you think, I guess we have to pull them more than we have. Most of the boys think they're about 18, 20 votes against it. I don't know where they are. And then if we get these other 6 or 8 after January. Now, we know that Morse and Clark and Carlson and Hayden and those fellows will be for us. But when you take 8 off and put 8 on the other side with Goldwater and Russell, Russell's already raising doubts, so I don't know what might happen to us next January. And in any event...
Is Russell determined on this?
No, I just think he's raising doubts and some of the others...
Well, I know he did, you know, like the Antarctic Treaty.
Yeah.
He ended up, you know, really fighting it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell's the matter with him, but I was never so surprised as what he did on the Antarctic Treaty. Well, I don't know.
You think it over tonight and come down in the morning?
At 10 o'clock. Which gate?
Yes, I'd come in the Treasury gate there and then come up that diplomatic entrance at the back and then tell the boy you won't see me up there.
Come in the in that west, that east room, not the gate at all.
No, I'd come in that Treasury entrance, up the entrance there, by the side of the Treasury, and then come up where that canopy in the back of the White House. You come in up, we call out the diplomatic entrance, where you come when you come to a party. And then you get on the elevator and come up to the family quarters on the second floor. And we'll sit there where we used to sit before you got so damn mad at me. You remember down there at the corner there. All right. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I never have come in that gate. It's always the southwest.
Well, come in either one. I don't care.
Well, make it the southwest.
Come in the southwest. It's all right. You just come in the southwest, drive around the circle where that canopy is.
Well, I'm not familiar with that elevator.
All right. Well, the other one opens right on Pennsylvania Avenue. And the other one opens right on Pennsylvania. But you can see it tomorrow, and you come in the southwest gate, 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And we'll have a cup of tea. And is Betty still living with you?
Yeah, I'll say she elected me.
Well, give her my love and tell her I think she's a good woman and an awful understanding woman to put up with you that long.
Yes, she is. I agree with that. But you don't forget I trained her for 36 years. That's what got her that.
Well, I trained her a little bit myself. Yeah. I traveled abroad with her. Goodbye. I'll see you in the morning.
Okay.